Hey, modelers, welcome to the Model Geeks Podcast. Here, we will be discussing anything and everything as it relates to the world of scale modeling. Before we start, we would like to thank you, the listeners, for downloading and making us part of your modeling bench session. We would also like to thank our fine sponsors, Furball Aero Design, Sprue Brothers, Tamiya USA, Detail and Scale, and Lionheart Hobbies. Now, sit back and buckle up as we dive into the world of scale modeling. Here are the geeks, Darren Cook, Scott Samo, Andrew White, Andrew Frill, and Tim Holland.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? You got Nemo at the helm today. And what is that helm? What am I talking? What am I? Surface guy? I'm at the controls.
Yoke.
I'm at the controls. Yoke. Got Nemo at the controls today. Not that there's anything wrong with ships. Ships are great. Boats, ships, whatever. They get us where we need to go. But anyway, welcome to the Model Geeks Podcast, everybody. Episode 74. And Darren, what's up, man? Frildo, Whitey, El Presidente. We got the whole clan in the house. How you guys doing, man? How's it's Monday, so... How's everybody's Monday doing?
It's Monday after a time change, and we have a full moon this week.
Oh man.
Buy a lottery ticket.
No kidding.
Right?
That's when you just stay in bed.
Or stay at home in bed. That's right.
Girl's got the idea. Stay in bed or just stay at the bench.
In Casa Holland, every day is Saturday.
Ouch. Reality set this in for all of us that are not retired and have to work. And Tim's like,
Tim, next time I see you at the airport there, I'm just going to go stand against the wall, spread my legs, and you kick me as hard as you can and hoo-ha.
I'll take you up on that.
Oh, boy. You heard it here, folks. They're going to Rochambeau. Well, Tim's going to be doing the Rochambeau, and Darren's going to be the receiver of the hand. Ow.
It's always better to be Big Spoon.
All right.
Okay.
But it's Monday. Right, I'm doing great.
It's Monday. Good. I hope you guys are doing good. Let's get, as Frill would say, crack-a-lackin' and get this thing rolling. Darren, what's up, man? Tell me what's on your bench, what you're working on, maybe what you pick up recently, all that kind of good stuff. What's going on in the bench world of Mr. D-Ran?
Well, I mean, since the last drop we had, that was just this past Saturday. It's been just a few days, man. So I got it. We've been busy, haven't we? We had the 48 and 48 group build this weekend. So that's with Malcolm and those guys from the Model Officers Mess and the Models for Hero charity and my Kinetic MQ9 Reapers, which is on my desk. I failed. I didn't finish. Imagine that. Was this the third year we've done it?
I think it's the third.
Yeah.
Maybe it's third or fourth. I can't remember. It's one of those.
Well, whatever it is, it's equal number of failures. So, I mean, I haven't
finished. Dude.
I haven't finished it yet.
Okay. Who on the freaking podcast has successfully done a 48 and 48 build? Crickets. None of us. We all suck.
Hold on
depends
now.
On what you call success.
That's right. I was busy with co-hosting.
Okay, you got an excuse. Efforts.
Very hard to build and do that at the same time.
Yes, it is.
Co-hosted with Scott Gentry from the Triple P, and it was great. Yes. Had a great time. But I will finish it. This one I am going to finish because it's one that I do want to take this and the Phantom to Heritage Con here in a couple weeks.
Cool.
So I do want to get it finished.
Good deal.
What I pick up, I didn't pick anything up, but I did receive a very gracious package from our friend Rudy at Lionheart. Which I was really pleased to see. And I want to thank Rudy and Danielle for that. But I did have a Edward SU-25 show up in the mail.
Man, is that the limited edition?
Yeah, it's really
holy jeez, dude. That is an awesome kit.
So I did buy a little bit more aftermarket before I got myself some, Master Models brass pitot tubes for it.
And, yeah.
You know, that's built based on the Zvezda kit, so there's no interior details. So I got a Quinta
Yeah, it actually, I think that, if I'm not mistaken, they did that on purpose.
They
like
did.
The Zvezda kit on purpose doesn't have any kind of cockpit detail because they expect you to use the Quintesset. So
yeah.
That's not actually cheating if that's how the kit was designed.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, right? So
yeah.
So I picked that up, and like cool. I said, the pitot tubes, and you don't need anything else with that kit because Edward's thrown everything else into the to the mix. So
I really dig those limited releases. Anytime Edward, I'm such I'm a sucker for anything that says special edition or limited release. It's not good.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff. Oh, I did. I found another Tamiya prop action 48 scale Grand Slam Lancaster bomber.
Oh,
which I got online. I believe it was off the Scale Model Resurrection deal, no deal thing over the weekend.
Okay.
Shipped, and this thing's still wrapped, original packaging, so it's still wrapped for $70.
That's awesome. Wow. Holy goodness,
bucks.
Steel.
Yeah.
It's not free, but it's close.
Yeah, that's real close to free for that one.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's way, yeah, it's free. I mean, it's out of production, hard to get, very difficult kit to find, so.
Yeah, especially, that's awesome. You should build it.
Oh, no, well, I can, because I've got another one that's not sealed, so.
Yeah, there you go.
I could build one of them, but that rounds out. I do believe that rounds out the collection, all sealed.
Cool, good deal, man. That's awesome.
So that was pretty cool. But I want to say that's it. That's a lot. But
that's a lot. You know, that's okay. That's why we're here.
But that's what I got, man.
Good deal.
That's
man.
What's on the bench. That's what I got.
Sweet. Pharrell, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Got some serious.
I was going to say, what's on the bench and what'd you pick up?
Well, on the bench wise.
Let us in the mighty world of Frildo. Here we go.
Yep. So for my March Madness build, like before Whitey came out with what he was doing, I was going to do the Kitty Hawk F-94C Starfighter.
Oh.
And then because Whitey beat me to it and he put it up there, and I was like, oh, crap, you know? And I started out going to do that one. Then I was like, nah, I can't do the same thing. So then I kind of shelved that and was looking around, and I decided to go with the AMK 148 scale L29 Delphin.
Nice.
And so I grabbed it, and it's got like four sprues, seriously.
Oh, yeah, man. That's a great kit.
Opened it up, and I was like, man, this thing's got some weight to it. And I didn't realize that a couple of years ago when I bought this thing, I got the Aries. Scoops. I've got the reconnaissance conversion. I've got the canopy rail, the pylons, the seats, the metal pitot tubes. And I was like, holy crap, man. I didn't know I did all that.
Wow.
And a HAD models HAD decal sheet. And so I was like, well, I'll do the reconnaissance version then. So I went
cool.
Started on it really this weekend with to kind of go along with the model officer 48-hour 48 scale build, and that kit is awesome. Like, it's so good that it's like making me want to get on their MiG-31 after this, because
I don't think all the AM kits are like that Delphin though. But that kit is amazing. It's like Tamiya-esque, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was not bad at all. And so with the scoops, you know, it gives you resin scoops to replace the kit ones.
Yeah.
And then for the knock events, it also gives you four of those. And to do those, you've got to cut out the vents, the knock events on the aircraft.
Yeah.
And I was like, Friday night, and I was like, man, how am I going to do that? So I took out my Dremel that has the little handheld one, the one that's not doesn't go very fast.
Yeah.
And I sat at the grinding wheel and I grinded the plastic away till it was like paper thin. And then I just took my knife and just cut out and then that the back of it, and came out really good. There was one spot where I got too thin.
Yeah.
And then if you pushed on it, you could like put your finger through it. So I just mixed up some Tamiya two-part epoxy putty and put it around it to kind of beef it up. And so, of course, when I did that, it got hot. So it kind of deformed the outside a little bit. Not a problem. Mr. Surfacer 500 to the rescue. I put some of that stuff on. I let it sit, sanded it, can't even tell.
See, look at that. Negative modeling and overcoming it right there.
It is.
That's how you do it. I think the thing that you don't do is colonize it, which is what I tend to do. Anyway, but awesome, man. That's cool. So you looks like you're about ready for painting?
Yeah. The only spot that's going to require that requires some filling was that access panel on the front that, you know, a lot of people pose it open.
Yeah.
And a kit wants you to pose it open, but I just think it takes away from the lines of the airplane. And so that didn't fit particularly well on the left side. But again, some sanding, Mr. Servicer 500, and cool. Takes care
good
of it.
Good to go. Awesome.
Yeah. So hopefully I'm going to try some different stuff. I may black base this thing and practice doing, you know, with my Sotar and just get in there, small panels, doing the white and stuff and just adding different colors to it. Because I'm kind of on the fence. It's going to be there. One negative about the kit would be the plastic, the finish on the plastic.
A little isn't pebbly?
It's not bad, though, but it's enough that if you were to do a natural metal finish on it, it would
See it. Okay.
So, I mean,
I assume you're going to do a camo.
Yeah, I'm going to do a camo.
Cool.
A Hungarian one, I think.
Sweet.
Yeah. And the only thing I really picked up was, it was last Sunday, and FedEx guy comes by, and I'm like, what the heck is this? And I saw I had a package, and I'm like, what the heck is this? And it was funny, because on eBay, I had a thing. I ordered those ejection handles, and they came from Rudy at Lionheart Hobby.
And I
saw on eBay that, boom, I had another set coming. I'm like, I didn't order another set, you know? And I'm like, why is it coming FedEx? And so I opened it up, and it was from Rudy. It was the AMT 1/32 scale studio scale TIE fighter.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Totally. The wife looked at me. I was like, honey, I didn't buy it. I promise. I was like, I did not buy this. And so that was very nice of Rudy, man. Totally blew me away. And there was a, you know, he hand wrote a little note stuck on
there
it and everything.
Go.
And
that's awesome.
So yeah, very cool of him. Thank you, Rudy. I appreciate it. And that's about it.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Frildo. Appreciate the update and look forward to watching you finish the Delphin. I think it'll look amazing, man. So far, the interior is looking fantastic. So thanks for posting the pictures and keeping us up to speed on it, man. It looks good.
Thanks.
All right. Whitey, what's up, man? How about you? What's on your bench? What's in the world of Whitey and the modeling? And what'd you pick up? Have you picked up anything? But let's hit your bench first, man. What you got working on?
Well, 48/ March Madness build is F-94B. You know, Frillo balked on the C model, but I'm building a hobby crap.
I did.
B mod.
Jesus, man.
You know, they're just, those kits, I don't know. They have nice surface detail, but then it ends there. There's no real detail to these kits.
Yeah. You know, especially like the cockpits. Holy goodness. Yeah.
So I did have an old Airwaves detail, a PE set. So I kind of dressed it up a little bit with that, at least. I tried to use some True Detail seats that I had kicking around, and I posted some photos of online. I took them out of the package.
Dude, I saw them.
The things looked like they were made out of, like, mud. I was like, what is this, man? Come on.
Chewed up bubble gum.
Yeah, man. It was so unsat. I mean, you can't even.
Bad.
What are you supposed to do with that? You know?
Nothing. Throw them away. That's what I do. But that being said, you know, so immediately I jump on the eBay or wherever.
Yeah.
I'm looking around for, like someone, you know. Now, I will say this. I got a bad batch because, I mean, I think their earlier batch of True Detail stuff was nicer or. I don't know. Gabe said the same thing that, it depends on when you get them. And I got to agree there because I do have a set in my T-33 over there from back in the day that are pretty nice looking. But obviously those things were just horrible. And, you know, kind of a switch, you know, I just want to get a kit build, you know, for the month.
Sure.
Thing here, the March Madness. So I'm not hung up on the seats. I dressed them up with some belts and the kit seats, and they look fine. They're in there. You know, kind of going back on that philosophy of, does anyone really ever look at cockpits, you know, anymore?
You know, I mean, I think it's a super quick, like, well, that looks nice, or, ooh, that looks bad.
You know? If it looks bad, I think, at least for me, if it looks bad, it jumps out at me, but otherwise,
if it's good,
I love building cockpits and you know, check out people's details and stuff like that. At any rate, that thing's on the bench getting built.
Cool.
I did participate in the 48 and 48 with it, so kind of cheating. You know, we kind of bent the rules a little this year, and you know, went outside of scale, and also, like, you know, James emphasized the it's not about if you finish thing. It's the
just
participation and all that, and gotta say, I had a great time. I was in the room on Friday night, but then I think it was Saturday night. I showed up a little late, so the room was filled, and so I jumped into the Discord and hung out with those guys all night. And you know, Mikey Conley, he was in there. He's a British. So himself and another guy, Dave, were the recipients of this program. You know, beneficiaries of the charity. And you know, so hanging out with those guys and talking with them, and John Marley from down there in Australia, the whole bunch of us just kind of hanging out, and Teresa from over in the Netherlands, I believe she was from the Netherlands or Norway. I apologize either way. You know, so just kind of hanging out with them, and that's what I was probably up to like 2 a.m. on Saturday, just hanging with them guys.
Crazy.
So where was I? Let's see. What'd I buy? I didn't buy anything. I got a book.
Cool.
I got a book about X-Planes by
Jay
Miller. It's thick and it's heavy.
Wow.
Black and white photos, but all the details and data you'd ever want to know about X-Planes from X-1 through the X-45. And,
cool,
you know,
man.
I have a few X-Planes going, so that's kind of why I grabbed it. Chris Dirks was going on about it. He said, yeah, it's a really good book. And, you know, I got a, you know, it's a big, heavy book, and I think I only paid like $22 for it or something like that on Amazon.
Yeah.
A used one, you know, whatever, but it's in decent shape.
Cool.
Aside from that, I didn't haven't really bought anything kit-wise or anything recently.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so.
How are the figures coming for your C-47? Have you been able to work on those at all?
No, and that's my goal for, in fact, I was talking with the Frildo yesterday about that. I said, you know, I have to block out April. April's going to be my month to concentrate on getting my figures done for that. I don't want it to wind up into late spring, summer, and the next thing you know, we're packing up for Nats, and I have like five guys done, and I'm trying to sit in the hotel room painting guys, you know, so I don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
I want it done, and, you know, that kind of goes back to the, I don't know how most dioramists do it, but for me, you know, with this, you know, I'm not a typical diorama builder. So with this, you know, I built the aircraft and was really highly motivated. Like, yeah, man, I'm going to make this diorama. And now that I'm done with the airplane and it's sitting over there, I'm kind of like the mojo trickles off. Like, you know, so that motivation to get the, you know, 20 paratroopers done and whatever gear and maybe a couple vehicles. You know, it's kind of like, oh, no, now I have to do those things.
Yeah, man.
So I think, you know, it was kind of, you know, you think about model crap when you're not building models. You know, so I'm at work and I'm thinking about it. I was like, you know, when I do that NB-52 with the lifting bodies, things that I talked about in the past, I'm going to be disciplined and not build the B-52 first. I'm going to do all these crappy lifting body kits, you know, the M2 kit and the other resin things. So I'm going to get all the quote accessories done and then build the granddad. Yeah, like, you know, and then that way you stay motivated. I think that's kind of how
I think that's a great plan. It's just like one of these days, you know, I've heard that to keep the mojo going when you're building is to do all the fiddly bits first.
Yes.
It's so hard to do. I've never actually like, okay, I am going to build all the fiddles first. And I'm gonna wait to build the aircraft, you know, second.
Yeah,
I've heard it's a really good. I've heard folks who do that, and they're like swear by it. They
Derek
don't lose.
Post is he's a proponent of doing the ordnance. He hates doing ordnance, so he does all the bombs and missiles first. And
it's just
him
smart.
Being an airline guy, he can take those on the road with them easier. And so he'll do that stuff, and then come home and build the main kit. You know, probably, and like I said, I would. For me and my philosophy, I think that'll keep me motivated.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
so. What year are you going to start this? Is it before or after the Enola Gay one thing you want to do?
That's my other one.
Ouch.
I'm going to hang off on that one until Tamiya gets a Dodge WC56, 57 in their 148 line of vehicles. Why they have, you know, I guess Miss Big T must hate those Dodge vehicles or something, man. Because every other odd vehicle you can think of in their 148 line. I mean, these weird friggin' German, you know, things, and I guess German stuff sells no matter what. But you know, come on, dude, do one of those. You know, it's such a versatile vehicle. There's so many other things you can do with that chassis. You know, there's like the flatbed version of it that they use for like ammo transport. The ambulance. Hello.
Oh my goodness.
Come on.
Yeah, man.
I'm with you. You must hate Dodge. Not a Mopar guy, I guess.
He's got that one in the same category as the two-seat F-16.
No. Oh, and before I go, you know, like before I sign off here, I got to sing the praise of Rudy.
Oh, what'd you get?
Rudy Claus, you know, he does have a white beard. kind of the same thing. I opened up the old mailbox and I got a box in there that's kind of heavy. And I'm like, what the heck is this thing? A little box, heavy. And I was whining about whinging, as the Brits say. Love that, whinging. I was whinging on about my worn out punch and die set and my old Waldrons. So
did you get a new
punch and die set? So thank you, Rudy. Appreciate it. It'll get lots of use. I love banging out decals and all manner of stuff with these things. I use the heck out of them. So,
man, I'm going to really swing by your house and steal it. That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah, man. All right.
Cool.
That's me.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Whitey. Thanks for the update. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the, hopefully the C-47 with the diorama and all the figures and stuff. I think that'll be really cool. So certainly beyond like classic kind of D-Day and Overlord kind of theme. When you think about that, that's what comes to my mind. So,
yeah, I think I'm going to cheat a little too. And like, you know, since I'm not a dioramist and I'm a fan of cheating, I'm going to, you know, again, me and Phil were at breakfast talking about, you mentioned his display for the backdrop. And I was like, man, for some of the groundwork, I want to incorporate like I'm going to do a plaque with the guys' names. But then also I want to do a copy of, you know, Ike's letter to the troops from that day and kind of have that incorporated into like a corner somewhere somehow, like, you know, the eyes of the world are upon you sort of thing.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Cool. Good deal.
See how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Whitey, again. Thanks for the update. All right. Tim, El Presidente, what's on your bench? And I'm sure you picked up a few things, but start with the bench, man. What you got on the bench? What you working on?
Well, on my bench right now is the kind of following through with the 48 and 48. I actually had an objective that I wanted to finish the engine. It's 1/24th scale, a Pratt & Whitney, I guess, engine that goes in a Hellcat.
That's big.
Yeah, it's a big one. And the instructions, it's for the Airfix kit, and the instructions provide all the, here's how long you need for each of the spark plug wires and how to cut
that's
them
cool.
And, you know, what size brass to use, that kind of thing. So I sat down and did all of that. And at the end of the day, it ended up being a little less than 70 parts when I kind of counted it up before I started. It's like, you know what? That's a good place to stop after a weekend of building.
Yeah.
And I actually finished that. I got all the spark plug wires in, and which was not as hard as I thought it would be. I actually thought it was going to be a challenge because, you know, I'm used to building in 72nd scale, where there are guys that do spark plug wires in 72nd scale and radial engines. I'm not one of them. And and so I'm like, well,
me neither.
But this is an engine that begs that, because you can see the detail and you got to do it. So I did, and I'm glad I did because it looks absolutely beautiful.
Cool. And yeah, I've seen the pictures. I mean, the engine looks spectacular. It really looks good.
Yeah. So I'm really excited to, you know, finish the engine, and that's kind of what's on my bench now is to put the other roughly 75 parts that need to go on it. Because ultimately it looks, when it's done, it looks like a kind of a power egg that just gets attached to the front end of a Hellcat, and then the cowling panels go on it.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's on my bench. And as far as getting stuff, of course, I got one of those packages from Rudy as well. And and of course, I got the evil eye from Sink Home when she saw it. And she's like, now what are you buying? It's like, honest, hon, I don't know. You know, and then she got upset because I don't remember that I'm buying stuff. When I opened it up, it's like, I didn't order this. And then I saw the note from Rudy and it's like, okay, that's got it.
Pretty neat.
So it was, I ended up getting an ICM KI-21 Sally. Yeah, it's a nice kit. And he also threw in an ICM TU-2, which is a...
You got two?
Well, they're 72nd scale. They're going to be small.
Just kidding.
And yeah,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, and the but the TU-2 is a twin engine torpedo plane. So you know, it's not like your typical Russian bomber, twin engine bomber. It's actually in shades of blues and grays. And I'm looking forward to that one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's so should cool. I? Are we going to? Should I talk about? I mean, I got lucky during the 48-hour.
I was going to mention Sink Home. You know, she giving you the evil eye for a couple 72nd kids
ahead.
Come in.
Go ahead, Tim. Yeah.
Let's talk about what little Timmy did this weekend.
So to be fair, I made sure that she was in agreement with my budget for how much I was going to donate to Models for Heroes. So we were in agreement. And then I start telling her about how some of the, this was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. It was after Saturday. So it's, I'm telling her about the Friday night and Saturday night and how the auctions are going and how guys are going crazy. And then I tell her about the Meng, what was it? The three Dune kits, Meng Dune kits. And I told her, I said, yeah, you know, I jumped on that and made a big donation. And I, you know, of what was it, 500, I think, or 400, 500.
Something like that.
Yeah. And but that was because, and I told her, I said, but it was, I did the 500 because I could get the mug from James. And
that's Mark. Right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember hearing that he said it was going to be signed.
Yes.
So I want to make sure that it's, that we definitely have this recorded that he said signed. So I'm looking forward to that. And, she was like, you paid how much for a model? And I'm like, no. I made a donation.
Yeah.
I made a donation.
And
well, you got three models too.
And I got, I got three models, but, So
and
I
by the way, it is recorded and it is on video. All that stuff is still on YouTube.
And pretty much all there, and we heard him. So there you go.
Good.
It's no fun when the wife knows that's coming, you know? You got to be careful with that because we're going to get soft and we're going to be slipping one day and it's going to come back and bite you. She'll be like, where'd this come from? And you're like, what are you talking about? Got to stay on our game, man. We got to stay on our game.
No, I don't think so, because there was a package showed up today that had some makeup in it. And
there you go.
My models don't cost that much. So I'm not too worried about it. Cool. So I also picked up a set of bases by Bill Wooden carrier decks.
Oh, that's right.
At one point, I know I offered up the 48 scale one to go with that Tamiya.
You did.
F4F. But Bases by Bill jumped in and offered one up at the same time. Christian did.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I mean, the offer still goes. So if But that's something I got to work out with Christian to make sure that one of us sends that in. So
yeah, I think Christian's got it covered. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, it's always best to double check, but I do believe he's got it covered.
Right. And then I won that Border Models 1/35th scale BF-109G. That one's, I got a plan for that one. It's going to, we'll probably see that again. We in the club, we'll probably see that again at Christmas.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice one, man.
Yeah.
You've got that kit, don't you? You got that kit, don't you, Scott?
I sold it. Did I had you? It. Yeah, it was part of my big stash clean out. And I don't know, it was still wrapped. I mean, I never even looked at it. I never even opened it up and looked at it, which is kind of silly. But I've got so many of those Hasegawa 109s. I mean, I've got like 30 of them. So I probably did need another one.
Did any of the rest of you guys, I know, Scott, you're going to move on to what you picked up. Did anybody else pick up anything at the 48 and 48?
No, I was bidding on some things, but kept getting sniped. So,
the snipers were out.
Yeah,
they were out full force. I did pick up a, you know, I didn't note those to my deal there, but picked up a couple of things myself. I got that signed 1/35th scale DOS work bow mag. That's one that was signed by
cool, BJ, man.
BJ DeBecker. He's the kit designer. Signed the box. Yeah. I picked that up. It's really a cool looking kit.
Cool.
I got some of our good friend Jeff Martin's Furball sheet, the Heritage Eagles.
I pulled all right. that up.
And the Tacom 1/35th scale Apache.
I
picked up. So I got three things out of the auction. Pretty cool. I'm looking forward to getting them.
Good deal. Yeah, I
was going to say, speaking of decals, I owe somebody a sheet of PaxCon decals. I was looking through the list and I was trying to remember who it was.
Yep.
But I know you've got that written down somewhere, don't you, Darren?
Yeah, I've got it here on the spreadsheet. That was going to be to, that's to Tim Headley. He got the A6 U.S. Marine Corps Service and Navy Test Evaluation Squadrons from Detail and Scale.
All right, brilliant.
Yep.
Good deal, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll contact him and get those in the mail ASAP.
Yeah, I've got his email address. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I think some of the little extras that people were throwing in, like I know Frill and I are going to hunt down some cool VX20 and some P8 patches because it's super simple for me to get a VX1 patch because I work there. I talked to one of the guys this morning getting a P8 patch. Easy day. I even try to grab, see if I can get a VP30 or some of the other squadrons. And then I know Frill, you're going to try to grab some patches too. And
yeah,
you know, I'll send it. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I got a Maritime Patrol Reconnaissance patch I'll throw in there because he got that Furball P8 sheet that I'm going to sign for him. So
good deal. Got an old Frill Doze Herbie Hancock on there. I thought that's awesome though. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, hey, Nemo, what'd you get? What's on your bench? Well, I know that you had some squirrels this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. You. Well, because, you know, I finished two things like within 2 weeks of each other. So I finished the EA-6A to make Richmond. Not that I was building for Richmond, but I was like, well, I think I should have plenty of time to have it done for Richmond. And I did. I didn't have to rush it or anything. And then I was like, oh, crap, I forgot, Musaru Cup. Oh, so, and that little kit was, I think it turned out nice in the end, man, that thing was hard to put together. Like, the instructions were not real clear on where stuff was supposed to go. And I'm not an armor guy or a car guy. So, like, I had to try to stay, like, 2-3 steps ahead in the build. Because if I put something, you know, glued something in the wrong spot, then I didn't feel the effects until 2 or 3, 4 steps down the road, you know? So I really tried to dry fit and test fit everything. And in the end it was fine, but there were some parts like the clear parts and the cab, how it fits to the chassis and the bed of the truck fit great. But then like the wheels just kind of fit and the axles fit weird. And I was like, I don't know where half this stuff's supposed to go. Cause the instructions are kind of like, it's just hard. Right. So, But luckily, everything was lined up in the end, and I'd fit it a couple of times, and then I'd have it fit and then try to glue while it's still like resting kind of where pieces need to. So, yeah, once I got all the pieces fit together, then the painting was fun. You know, that was enjoyable. But that one still, both the EA6A and that little 72 scale truck, just it was that ICM Ural 4320. Man, that was just, it kind of sucked the mojo out of me. So I was really struggling to find a kit. And to be honest with you, I just couldn't find one. I needed just a little bit of a break. And so I was futzing around with the Harrier, the little monogram Harrier. And Justin was like, what the hell are you thinking? Dude, get yourself a Tamiya kit. I was like, these monogram kits are fun. I really dig those. So it's all, most of those pieces, that's what I kind of worked on this weekend for the 48 and 48. And so I'll, you know, eventually I'll pull that one back out. But now I'm motivated with the Asagawa 32nd scale, the FW190. It's an A6. It's the checkerboard nose FW190. And the engine's already done. The cockpit's done. So I'm just starting to glue pieces together. And there's a lot of pieces to the fuselage, though. So like the nose is like, I mean, there's several pieces. But guess what? It's not like Kitty Hawk. They all fit.
Right. They go where they're supposed to.
They go where they're supposed to. Just a little bit of fit, little sand here, a little trim here. Boop. Perfect fit. No issues at all. No crazy wonky prop blades or nothing. So I'm going to try to knock that one out. I'll use Montex masks and I'll paint everything on this one, including the checkerboard nose. So that's try to knock out that and finish up the Hobby Boss at SU-22 I was working on, because it's pretty much just about ready for decals. So those are the things. So I'll probably be going back and forth with those on the bench. Just kind of, I always like to kind of have two going at once. Just so when one something's dry and I can be working on something else. But anyway, cool. That's what I got.
Cool.
And as far as what I picked up, I haven't picked up too much other than Rudy Claus. Rudy, again, thank you so much. But Rudy sent me the Border Model 135th scale, the new Kate. So I was over the moon with that one. That is such a cool, unique aircraft. And after having so much fun with the roof, I'd really like to work on that one soon. Like not put that one away in the stash. Like keep it kind of out. Because I think it would be something different. It would be a lot of fun to build.
Yeah, I think we should have those all built for the
Model Fiesta next year.
Model Fiesta, that's right. Next year,
taking
the Model Fiesta.
I'm all in.
I'm up for that challenge.
Yep. Whitey,
gives us a year.
We got a year. What do you think?
Yeah, I could do that.
I didn't get a kit, so.
Well, you got to build something with
your
punch.
Something, yeah. There you go.
Well, I'm going to talk to Rudy.
Punch out a bunch of discs.
No, I'm going to talk to Rudy. We'll get that fixed. Because that would be pretty cool to have all of us show up with the kit that from Lionheart. I think that would be freaking amazing. So cool. We'll figure it out.
As soon as he gets a Gannet in, I'll jump on it, man.
There you go. Rudy, did you hear?
I think this month they're supposed to show up in the States.
Are they?
I think so, yeah. March. Yeah, March. Late
Rudy
March.
Rudy Claus is coming to town. Anyway, but thank you, Rudy. I really appreciate the generosity. And it was great seeing you and hanging out with you up here. It was fun. And we look forward to Model Fiesta next year. We will be there. Anyway. All right. Cool. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for the updates on the bench. And again, really enjoyed the 48. I think we all had a great time with that. Darren, thank you for doing your part of hosting, and Scott Gentry and all the other Triple P and all the geeks that were out there. Thanks to all y'all for putting on a great event this weekend. I think it was super enjoyable, and look forward to the next one.
Yeah, it was fun. Me too.
Good deal. Awesome.
Hey there, Model Geeks. Rock Rozak of Detail and Scale here, telling you about our recent book, P-38 Lightning in Detail and Scale, Part 1, by Hagen Klaus and Bert Kinsey. With its unique design of a forward cockpit nacelle located between the wings and twin boom tail configuration, the Fork-Tailed Devil was an iconic aircraft that remains instantly recognized. Our book covers the early Lightnings, from the XB-38 prototype to the P-38H, as well as the F-4 and F-5 photo reconnaissance aircraft derived from the fighter variants. It covers the history of the early Lightnings, provides coverage of every early Lightning variant, and has a details chapter with over 120 high-resolution photos. It concludes with our usual modeler section, which reviews many early Lightning model kits released over the years and all the popular scales. P-38 Lightning in Detail and Scale, Part 1, is available now in both print and digital editions. Our website, www.detailandscale.com, has more about this and all of our books. Happy modeling from Detail and Scale. And now, back to the Model Geeks Podcast.
All right, let's move on to just hopping in with some news. Some of the stuff that I've kind of seen lately, it's not like late breaking news, but just some things that have kind of caught my eye. One of them was that Border 35th scale Kate. Man, that kit is just absolutely spectacular. If you haven't seen it, folks, and if you're into like anything World War II props, Japanese, it's just a fantastic kit. There's so much detail. So I suggested just go check one out.
Now they released that in the Kate by itself,
yep.
The flight deck by itself,
oh,
and then the combo
yep.
kit.
Yep.
So you've got three different ways to pick that stuff up.
I'd love to see one built. It's such a unique, and the hard part is going to be to fold or not to fold, you know, with the wings. We'll see. We'll see whatever I figure out whenever I build it. Another one is that the Hobby Boss 48 scale B-24J, the Liberators, those are out now. I saw those at Old Dominion. Angel had them there. So that kit is out. I think even Sprue Brothers and all the other online companies, they all have it now. One of them that I'm like really, really excited about is, you know how much I love the Laminar Flow Designs group. Those are the conversion kits to do a Mark 14 using the Tamiya kit, and the fit is phenomenal on these kits. It's just kind of like the halberd stuff that just fits so well with the Tamiya kits. So there's a couple that I saw that I think he's coming out with. He's definitely coming out with a 32nd scale. It's a Mark 12, so it's the first Griffin Spit, and that is such a unique looking aircraft. Then he's coming out with one of those. I don't know when, but hopefully soon. And then there's one, I can't confirm this, but because he gave like a little teaser, a picture, and it was a Mark 14, but somebody said that looks like 124 scale to me. And the comment underneath that was like, yep, that's spot on or something like that. So I was like, oh, is he going to make a 24 scale Griffin conversion for the Airfix kit? Oh my God. I would be like, everything gets off the bench and I would start. I would start as soon as I got that, because I'd love to have a big one. I'd love to have
I'd
a big
one. I'd actually have to do one of those.
I'd love to have a big Smith. I know I'll buy one for you too, Tim. Because I think that stuff sells out so fast. So anyway,
definitely when you pull the trigger, make it.
I'll just grab one for you. Done. Yeah. Done deal. Awesome. Anyway, another my one little last one that I just want to give a quick plug for is so Mason Dupnik, he's the owner of Cavu Publications, and he's the one, he came out with an incredible CH-53E all color book, very similar to like the Detail and Scale or Jake Malampy. Nice, thick, glossy pages, super high detailed, high resolution photos, just fabulous. And he just came out with an H-860 Gulf Pavehawk and the AH-1 Whiskey and Zebra, the Cobras, or the Zulus. The I say Zebra, yeah, the Zulu. the Whiskey and the Zulu Cobra books, and both of those are absolutely amazing. So again, those are Cavu Publications, and you can check them out at cavupublications.com. So that's what I got. Time for me to shut up. And what do you guys got? Just go around the horn, whoever. What are you guys seeing that kind of get you excited?
I got the Edward with their P-51Bs. They've got the D-Day Mustangs P-51B dual combo, the Overlord dual combo. I thought that looked pretty cool. Also doing a Royal Class, another Royal Class boxing in 48 scale.
Those are all new molds, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
With only new Bravos. Yep.
Yeah, I think only one screw is a carryover. It might be like the weapon screw or something.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yep. That's going to be really cool. And that stuff's on pre-order now over on their website. So
cool. Any idea what the Royal Class kit combo's going for?
Yeah, I've got it open right now, as a matter of fact. It's about 111 US.
Oh, okay, not too bad.
Nope,
just because it's unique and neat boxing and all that.
So what do you get with that? Because normally, like the Royal Class, like the German stuff, they would throw in like a beer stein.
Yeah, I didn't see anything with the additional stuff listed in it. So I'll link it to the website so folks can go over there and take a look at it. But I've every one of the Royal Classes I've seen have been really nice. I always have
sign me up,
extra in there.
Take the money.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's cool stuff. That's what I've seen. I thought those were pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Anybody else? Anything else anybody's seen?
Jet Mads. Got a 32 scale F-84 coming. F-84F model.
Oh, I saw that just like a day or two ago. Yeah.
So I saw that pop up. And then also Caracal just released a whole metric ton of new decals.
Really?
The 48 scale F-104s and they're like test schemes and even have them for the NF-104s, the ones that they, I think they modified like three because Hypersonic is coming out with a mod for the kinetic kit to do an NF-104. Cool. That's the type that you see in the right stuff, you know, that Chuck was up there and gets spun out of control and all that. And then a bunch of 72 scale releases, QF-104. I'm hoping I don't want to step on Tim's toes here, 72 scale stuff. But
oh, man, you're good.
QF-104s, E models, and the test prototype A-10s in 72 scale. The 104 line is repeated in 72 scale, and then F-16 Doc Vipers in 72. So a lot of nice stuff coming from him. Caracal models. Nice decals.
I've got several from Caracal. I mean, the quality is just unbelievable. I mean, I know we all love Furball, but Caracal's right up there with them, you know? And Whitey, thanks to you, I did hop on the Hypersonic website and I picked up one of his new update sets. It's, I guess he had like a little bundle deal where he had the kinetic F-16A and then he had his update set with the new horizontal stabs and a couple other bits to kind of make it an early F-16A.
Yeah.
And so I snagged that because I'd love to do one of those foreign, you know, F-16s. I just think they look neat. So thanks for hooking me up with it. You had mentioned about Hypersonic stuff and I was like, let me check out some of his stuff. And I saw that and I was like, so I bought that right away. And of course his stuff is just unbelievable. It's so precise and it fits perfect and no fuss. It's certainly not like those seats that you, it's nothing like that. I mean, just super good stuff. So
it's not true details.
It's not. So anyway, cool. Furl, how about you, man? You got anything new? No?
No, I mean, I haven't really seen anything that you guys haven't already talked about. I was eyeballing those Edward P-51s, though.
There you go.
I think we all are.
I think we all are, absolutely. Yeah. Tim, what's new in 72? Take it away.
All right. Well, one of the things I've been watching is Special Hobby with their, you know, the quality of their kits lately has been really good. And when I say lately, the last few years, and that when they kind of transitioned from being a limited run company to now they're the quality of their kits are right up there with Edouard, and to the point where I think, don't quote me on this, but I think there are some Edouard kits in 72nd scale that are actually special hobby molds. So it's not a lot of them. Like I know the recent 109E, I believe, is special hobby, and they're that good a quality that Edouard's willing to put their name on the box and sell it. So I'm looking at their two-stage Mosquito, which was in the pipeline for a number of years, and they actually started showing some molds recently, and I want to say last week, and they look pretty nice. They look like they've got some interesting details that are really accurate, that are unique to the two-stage Merlin. So it's got a slightly longer engine pylon, and it's just some unique variants that nobody else has actually done yet, other than the recent Airfix kit, which has its own issues, but can be built into a nice model.
Cool.
Let's see. Door Wings has got a couple of interesting releases that are coming up. They're showing some CAD renders of a Curtiss Wright 18-9 Jeep. That's a twin engine, kind of like a bomber trainer type thing.
Yeah.
And then they also have a CW-21, which was a fighter that Curtiss Wright made, and I want to say the Chinese flew it, and there may have been the Norwegians Netherlands may have flown it as well. I think it was Dutch East Indies, actually. So it was out in Asia. And then they've got a A31 Volte Vengeance, which if that one actually shows up, I'll be looking forward to it. Because that's, the only other options that are out there are not anywhere near as detailed as what Door Wings will do. It won't be anywhere near the quality.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
And then, let's see, what else is out there? Oh, yeah, Azure Fromm announced a DB7 French variant of the A20, early model. And so that'll be a nice one to see show up later this year. Heller is going to leverage their E2 molds and going to release a C2. So that'll be interesting. Let's see. Lataki is leveraging their Oro, that J-22 fighter, as an NJ-22 two-seat trainer.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the last thing I got on my list is Cora. Looks like Cora Models is going to release a Fokker Super Universal, which is a, if you're not familiar with it, a Japanese Yellow Wings airliner from the 30s.
And think unique.
Yeah, it's unique. Think Ford Tri-Motor, but with only one engine. That's okay. Kind of what it looks like.
Yep. Gotcha.
So gotcha. It's got the corrugated wings and fuselage and that kind of design. But that's kind of cool. What I'm watching. And there may be some other stuff out there. There is, because there's a lot of Hasegawa repops some other repops from a number of different manufacturers that are kits we're all familiar with, but with new decals.
Awesome. Well, that is quite the roundup in 72. Yeah. So, again, thanks, Tim, for kind of keeping us all squared away on the in-depth 72 scale stuff, because I don't monitor the 72 scale stuff hardly at all. And, thanks, guys, for just keeping us apprised on the new stuff that's coming out. It's always so much. Again, I think just we are living in the golden age, my friends. I'm telling you. So enjoy it while it lasts. All right. That's enough of the news. Let's move on to something else. In fact, Darren, why don't you give us a little lead in for the old Patreon giveaway that we're going to have?
Yeah, good idea, Scott. I tell you, first of all, I want to say thank you to all the Patreons. We don't do that enough. We need to do it more. These guys, you guys, all of you, I don't care what level you're a Patreon at. Your support is what allows us to keep doing what we're doing. And you really don't know how much we appreciate that. We don't say it enough, and we need to say it more. And that said, we have partnered with our show partners, Sprue Brothers, all of them, Sprue Brothers, Detail and Scale, Furball, Lionheart, Hobby, everybody. And we've worked hard here at Geek Central to put together a new Discord group, which I want everybody, all the geeks out there to take a look at. We're going to put that in the show notes, the link to that server for everybody to look at. But within the Discord server, there is, will be by the end of this weekend, actually by the time this drop, it'll be there, is the private Patreon video room. And it's open to the Patreons at all levels to come in, hang out. You'll find the geeks in there on the weekend every now and again, on and off. Maybe during the week, having a beer, having a chat, and answer questions. So it'll always be open. And always be open for you guys to go in and just kind of hang out with each other if you want to. But once a month, we're absolutely going to be in there, and that time will be set. And if you're at the pro model geek level within the Patreon, you're going to be eligible for our giveaways.
Sweet.
And we're going to do them in there live once a month. I would like to thank Gordon over at Sprue Brothers. He gave up our first two giveaways that we gave away. Brent Leidick and Derek Post were the recipients of those two VIP memberships.
Good
so,
deal.
So thanks, Gordon, for that. March, Rudy and Danielle there at Lionheart Hobby have graciously donated the giveaway for this month. And we spoke about it earlier. And that's the new Kate by Border model. We're fortunate to have that combo with the flight deck.
Ooh.
And we're going to be giving it away here at the end of the month on the Discord. So here again, Patreons at the pro model geek level there, you're eligible. And we hope that we'll put the time out. It'll be on the Model Geek Model Shack, and I'll send it out via all Patreons so you know what time to be in there on.
Good deal.
That Saturday or Sunday, whichever day we decide to do it. And it will be a random number draw. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to doing it. And you're going to start to see that. I know that I would love to. I'm sure you guys would the same way. Do it every month. That would be ultimate. But at this point, we're going to look at doing bi-monthly here at first to get started.
Cool.
And then hopefully before too long, we'll be able to move into the once a month giveaway. So.
Good deal.
Yeah. Good stuff, man.
Yeah,
really,
man,
is good stuff.
I think that, you know, we've all talked about this, but we wish that we could do more. I wish we had more time, you know, but we all, you know, I know even Tim, we joke about him being retired, but that doesn't mean that he sits around and doesn't do anything. Like he's still really busy. He barely has enough time to model. And so all of us, you know, being working full time and still being beyond involved in our daily lives with work, you know, I mean, we'd love to be able to do more, but we appreciate all the support and folks doing what they can for us to help produce the podcast with their donations, you know, and the different levels for Patreon. It's so appreciated. I can't put into words enough to let you know how much we appreciate everything that you guys do. So that's why we're trying to do stuff to help people out. Again, and always feel free to email us if people got questions or whatever. Email me directly, email whoever directly, email the geeks and say, hey, can I get so-and-so's email or however you want to do it. I wish we could do more, and but we're working on it. We're working on it. Because we love you guys. You guys are, that's why we do this. We do this because of you. And if you can hear the sound of my voice right now, that's why we do this podcast. It's for you. Yeah. The listener.
Absolutely. 100%. So.
And the chicks.
Oh, they're plentiful.
That's why we do this.
So anyway, yeah, that's it. That's the plug for the Patreon. I really,
awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And I'll put all the information, like I said, in the show notes. Keep your eye out on the Model Geeks Model Shack, on the Model Geeks Facebook page. And of course, I'll put out through Patreon as well to everybody there. So
cool. Well, thanks, Darren. Appreciate it. Yep. That's awesome. All right, folks, moving on. Just want to give a quick update on some of the shows and contests that we have coming up. But before I begin, please do me a favor and just hop on the IPMS website. It's a great site that you can get a lot of information on the upcoming events. So once you get on to the, you can just kind of Google IPMS USA, hop on their main website, and then you want to go to their homepage, then news and events, then events, all events, and that will take you to every single IPMS show. So you guys can go check those out. And also for region two, since that's the one closest to home, and in the sake of time, I'm not going to run over just like every single show that we have coming up this summer, which is a lot. There's a ton of shows. We're in show season now. So for region two, the next one we have coming up is Mosquito Con, and that is on the 6th of April in Wayne, New Jersey. And then we've got the Model Classic. That's up in Old Fairfax, Virginia. And that's on the 13th of April. We've also got the Virginia Shootout this year in Roanoke, Virginia, and that's going to be on the 10th of August. I think I'm going to try to make that one this year. We've also got one of our favorites with a great group of people up there in Pennsylvania at PennCon. That's in McKeesburg, Pennsylvania, and that's 14 September. So try to make that one. That's always a fun show. And then, of course, opposite of PaxCon, we got MarauderCon this year. So that's going to be in the stand at their normal location in Havre de Grace, or Grasse in Maryland. And that's will be on the 19th of October. So again, check out MarauderCon. I think that'll be another fun one. Some of the other notable shows happening around the country. You've got Commies Fest coming up pretty soon. That's in Centennial, Colorado. That'll be on the 23rd of March. You got WriteCon coming up, same day, but that's in Dayton, Ohio. Again, 23rd of March for WriteCon. Then we got Model Mania. This is the big, I call it the Houston show, but that one's in Stafford, Texas. And that's the 4th of May. So again, just around the corner. Got Blue Angel Model Fest in the Pensacola area, but it's actually located in Milton, Florida, and that'll be on the 13th of September. So those are some of the bigger shows that we got coming up. And again, for a list of all the events, please check out the IPMS website for all the different IPMS events that they have coming up. Moving on to some of the bigger events, we've got AMPS. That's the 11th, 12th, 13th of April in South Bend, Indiana. And then we've got Heritage Con. That's the 24th of March in Hamilton, Ontario. So, and then the other last big one, I'm going to turn this over to Frill. That'll be the Nationals, of course, located in Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin. That's July 17th through 20th. We'll all be there. It's an all-American red, white, and blue theme. And Frill, why don't you give us a quick update on Operation Overlord? Take it away.
All right.
Dude.
Thanks, Nemo.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. You know, keep the press on those builds and let's get as many aircrafts as possible. Keep an eye out on the Facebook page because eventually I will get something out there to kind of get a head count to see who all is planning on going to be, you know, be at the Nats and will have their builds with them so we can get the proper amount of table space because I want to get that to those guys out there to make sure we have enough room for everybody. I know we've got a couple in-flight displays coming. We've got, there's a Sterling glider tug that's going to, you know, shaping up and looking really good. And Lorenzo Vitale, I can't wait to see these there because he is participating and he is doing five. He did five aircraft for it. He did three Mustangs, two P-47s, and a Hawker Typhoon. And
Jesus,
they look sharp.
Wow, that's awesome.
Man, like even the armor builds, I was just like, wow, I was just blown away with the armor. I couldn't tell you what is what, but some of the builds that are going on the armor side are going to be amazing. And I can't wait to see the display when it all comes together at the Nationals. So
it's awesome, man.
Yeah. So keep building. I'm still working on my P47. I kind of shelved it for a little bit to work on a March Madness project, but I'm kind of messing with that on the side as well. So
good deal, man. Well, thanks for the update, Frildo. Yeah. And we'll all be there. So, look forward to seeing everybody. Please, please, please come by, say hi, come by and shoot the shit with us. We'd love to sit and just talk to folks, and appreciate the support, and I look forward to seeing everybody. Nationals 2024, be there July 17th through the 20th, Madison, Wisconsin. It'd be a good time. All right.
Hey, modelers, Furball Jeff here. Are you tired of boring, underperforming, or inaccurate decals that just plain suck? Not to worry. Furball Aero Design has you covered. We have an extensive lineup of ultra-high-quality aircraft decals covering U.S. military aircraft subjects from World War II to the present day. Our extensively researched decal sets are printed to the hobby industry's highest quality standard by Cartograph of Italy. Only Cartograph can capture minute details with stunning fidelity. The colors on our sets are printed to match U.S. federal standard colors for maximum accuracy. Every Furball set has numerous options and includes lavishly illustrated detailed placement guides. Our decals have minimal carrier fill and will give the markings on your model that painted-on look. So if you're ready to take your build to the next level, check out our website at furballaero-design.com. That's furballaero-design.com. And now, back to the geeks.
All right. I can't go without, in our hobby shop shout-out section, just giving another plug for Lionheart Hobby, Kyle, Rudy, Danielle. You guys have such a great thing going on there. It's just one of the best shops that I've ever been to. So, folks, if you're in the Austin area, San Antonio, Houston, anywhere in that triangle, it's worth the drive over to Kyle to go see Rudy and Danielle and check out Lionheart Hobby. It's just a fantastic shop, a little bit of everything. And maybe if you're really nice to Rudy, he'll show you the secret room in the back where all that good stuff is. But anyway, yeah.
The cigar room.
Yes, yes. You have to have the secret code, though.
Yes.
I don't know what it is, but ask Rudy. He'll probably give it to you. Anyway, yeah. So check them out. Check out Lionheart Hobby. I also want to just a quick tool tip. I got two things this week. The first one is one of the things I ran into quite a bit when working on the EA-6A were antennas, and just a lot of times some of these old Monogram and Revell kits, some of those little fiddly antennas that are just supposed to be glued on top of the plastic. There's no mounting point. There's no mounting area. There's no recess. It's nothing. It's just little bitty old antenna sticking on top of plastic, you know, fuselage, you know, or wings or whatever. And that means you really only got like one shot to get the antenna glued on right. If you just want to do the classic, put a little bit of glue on the antenna, take some tweezers and pop it on. The chances of you getting it on straight and perfect the first time are just slim to none. Ask me how I know. So what I've been doing is I've got some really small drill bits, and it's just this standard. I'll have to try and see if I can find the name of the company that makes these drill bits, but it's a fantastic set of drill bits and they're super fine. So what I end up doing is just drilling out the base of the antenna just a little bit, inserting a little bit of, you know, copper wire, and then drilling the same size hole into the fuselage or the wing or wherever the antenna needs to go. And then you can actually place it and then adjust it, and then just barely tap it with some, to me, extra thin, and boom, there's your antenna in the right spot, perfect alignment, and then you're good to go. You know, it's the cool thing with the copper wire is if it's not perfectly straight, you can bend it just a little bit, make sure you get it straight. So just a little tip there. And it's a little bit tedious, but it's completely worth it. So, you know, you got any questions about that, just please let me know. But I think the key is just getting a nice set of drill bits that are really, really fine. That's a good little tip. The second one, and I'm going to turn this over to Frill, is Frill, talk to me about this this black. It's not super glue. I guess they're calling it tire glue. And just kind of, I think all you guys are using it except me. just tell me why it's so good and what you use it for.
Yeah, thanks. Well, this it says that it's cyanoacrylate. So, I mean, smells like super glue, behaves like super glue, but they call it tire glue. And it's got carbon and rubber toughened. And I picked up a bottle of it from Micro World Games at the ODO. And because I saw Darren had some, and I was like, man, I'm going to try it. So I got it. And as I was working on the L29, I had to cut the wingtips off to put the fuel tanks on the wingtips that have barbed wing on their resin. And so I had to cut them. And so I super glued it. And when I did, I used that to kind of fill in the gap a little bit because the resin shrunk a little bit.
Yeah.
And normally with super glue, sometimes if you let it get too hard, you can sand and sand and sand and end up like a little trough from where you sanded, you know, and so it's not the same level.
Yeah, the super glue's there, but the plastic surrounding it is not.
Yep. And so I put some of this stuff on. I hit it with some accelerator. Normally when I use super glue, 10 minutes and I'm sanding.
Yeah.
And when I did, I noticed that this stuff, it sands uber easy. And I did not have to sand as much, and I did not end up with the trough at the wingtips. So now the wings are nice and straight, and there's no dip out there where I had to do all the sanding.
Perfect.
And yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Great stuff. And it says that it has carbon and rubber toughened. So whatever it is in there, it's great. You don't have to sand as much to get that stuff to blend, and it blends beautifully.
Yeah.
Awesome,
and I'm sold on it. And that's my go-to super glue now, from now on.
Darren, what's up, man?
I was going to say I've been a fan of it for a long time myself. It's just so much easier to sand. You don't have to put no powders or any the metal pigments or any of those additives in it to get it to fill and sand. It's just really, really good stuff.
I know before I've used some of that really fine, like talcum powder to mix with it just to allow it to sand a little bit better, but you know, it's the chemical process and how it mixes and all that. Sometimes it worked really well, and sometimes it didn't. I don't know how to, it's just weird. So having something that's already in a bottle, it's good.
The thing about the super glue being a mechanical type bond, it has to have something to give it that bond, you know, so that powder did it. But with this tire rubber or whatever it is they put in it, that compound, it does it for you. And it's just really, really good stuff.
It's awesome.
You know, and back to that as well, before I got that stuff, I'd always seen people using dental resin powder with super glue. And ran into a guy online. He asked me some questions about my T-38 that I had built, and he was doing one, and it looked really sharp. And he was talking, he said he used super glue with resin powder. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, yeah, I've been trying to get some of that stuff, but if you're not a dentist, you can't get it pretty much.
Yeah. And so he was like, too.
Yeah, he's like, oh, hey, man, no problem. So Chris sent me a bottle of some to use.
There you go.
And it's just as good. Same thing. And cool. Chris, thanks so much for sending that to me. And those are my two go-tos now.
Sweet, man. Well, good deal. Awesome. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for the tools and thanks for the tips, guys. Appreciate it. All right, so it's time to move on to everybody's favorite little segment here. That would be mail call.
Mail call.
Got the call of the mail, yes. All right, so first one. A little light on the mailbag, but we're going to run through them real quick. Again, just thanks for everybody for writing in. Appreciate it. We always love hearing from folks. The first one is from Dave Brown. Again, Dave, thank you for writing in. It's great seeing you at ODO. It's always great seeing you. And we're happy that you like the recommendation of Smoky Bones barbecue place. So, again, it's always great to see you. Hopefully what you had was good. But, thanks, Dave. I appreciate you writing in. And, again, great seeing you at ODO. Next one we had was from Ryan Moore. And so this one I'm going to pose the question out here to the geeks. But he's looking for recommendations for replacement canopies for a 48 scale B25. So I know for me, I don't know if there's anything from like some type of vacuform from maybe Squadron, but what say the geeks? What recommendations might you guys have for replacement canopy for a 48 scale B25?
What one thing what I would do, and I've done it before too, is you know, the old, we don't, people really don't go to them so much anymore, but the old hyperscale forms and ARC, you know, those old, you know, the forms that we all used to visit. I'd put a post out there, you know, to the people, saying to the masses, saying, hey, I'm looking for a canopy for a 48 scale monogram B25 or Accurate Adventures B25, and see what, you know, see what you can find. And if you want to go the eBay route, you can always get on eBay too, because a lot of people get on there and they'll have kits and they will part, they'll sell the sprues. So if someone got a kit, because they needed something, so they had to buy a kit, and to kind of recoup some of that money, they'll get on eBay and they'll just sell sprues. And so you can go that route as well. Those would be the two routes that I recommend.
Yeah, I think if there's a specific model company, whether it's, you know, Monogram or Accurate Miniatures or, you know, whoever, you know, you can obviously Google that on or put that in the search bar and eBay. But I think that's the big thing. But trying to give you a recommendation, you know, just would need more specifics on, you know, what particular 48 scale B25, and then what kind of nose is it? What, or is it the, is it a turret? Is it the nose? Is it the tail? You know, Tim, what you got?
I remember watching one of Paul Budzik's videos where he basically made a resin, clear resin canopy for his B25 because he didn't like the shape of the kit part. And he went in depth as to how he made it. And it was, it's been a long time since I've watched that video, but of course he sanded it in, fared it completely. And he even had a pilot figure, because he did it in flight, had a pilot figure inside. And when he got done polishing it, you couldn't tell it was resin.
Wow. Yeah, and his stuff is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean
that's an
option. It's hard, man.
It's perfect. It is. Talk about perfection. Holy goodness.
Yeah.
He's like the MacGyver of the model world. That guy can take a chunk of balsa and whittle something out to make something. And
I know, I feel when it comes to that stuff, I feel more like MacGruber.
Yeah, MacGruber.
MacGyver. Anyway, but there you go, Brian. Just, you know, maybe hop on one of the forums online, check eBay, and or if you got the cojones, try to make your own, you know, reach out to Paul Budzik. I think he might be able, he'd be willing to help you out. But you need more specifics, or you need some more help, just let us know. But hopefully we can help you out.
Hey, real quick, Squadron clear canopy.
Yeah, they make one?
They make B25. For the Accurate Miniatures, again, he doesn't say what kit he's talking about.
Yeah. But
they make it for the BC, or for the...
God damn it. What is it?
The BC and D.
Yeah. And yeah, for the BC and D, they make back form canopies for.
Another option would be Tasman Model Products.
Yep. He does. He covers...
Jay's models.
Yeah,
if you don't mind shipping
the from Gamut, pretty good too.
Yeah. If you don't mind the shipping from Oz.
Cool. Well, thanks for the gouge, guys. Appreciate it. And Ryan, like I said, hopefully some of those suggestions will speak to you, and best of luck grabbing your replacement canopy. The next one was from Devin Moore. And again, he really loved one of our past episodes, especially the one on sort of the episode that we talked about, sort of the kits of our youth. And it was really good to talk about that. That was a fun episode, to sort of nostalgic to talk about some of those kits. And again, Devin, thanks for writing in. I'm glad that you loved that one, and hope to see you at MosquitoCon as well. The last one I've got was from a gentleman named Jim Unger, and just want to plug an upcoming model show and swap meet that's in Eagle River, Wisconsin. It'll be held at the Derby Track, the Eagle River Derby Track and Convention Center, and this is put on by Northwoods Scale Model Fanatics. And that'll be on Saturday, May 18th. Again, that's at the Eagle River Derby Track and Convention Center in Eagle River, Wisconsin. And it'll be from 9 to 4 p.m. Again, May 18th. So if you're in the area and you want to check it out, go check them out. And Jim also was just saying that he's still cracking away at his A7. And again, just want to say best of luck and keep working on it. Good luck with that, man. And again, thanks for the plug, Jim. Appreciate it. All right. Well, thanks for writing in, folks. I appreciate it. Again, always enjoy reading the mail and having folks drop us a line. Of course, you can always email us. You can drop us a line on our Facebook page or our Patreon page. Whether you've got a question or a show suggestion, or just say that you're tuning in or you enjoy a show, or you don't like one. Although we don't get too many of those where people say that they didn't like something that we did or whatever. But hey, we're all about constructive criticism, man. Let us know if we're doing something you're like, hey, you guys suck. We're always in trying to make the podcast better. But again, the easiest way to get a hold of us is obviously you can just mail us. And that's at contact@modelgeekspodcast.com. Or of course, reach us out on our Facebook page. And again, thanks everybody for writing that. Appreciate it. All right, folks. Hope you're still sticking with us and enjoying the podcast. Again, we always appreciate the listener. I mean, that's the whole reason, like I said, a million bazillion times. That's why we do this. And it's just, again, we're in the swing of model season and building season. And, you know, something that we all talked about as we dive into our main topic here, you know, a couple years ago, I remember listening to one of the episodes from the Mojo guys. I think Dave Knights, you know, Mike is Basquiat as well. You know, Dave talked about negative modeling. This was a while back. It really kind of gets you to thinking about it. It can really impact a build. And so I think it's, you know, this EA6A that I just finished that I spent damn near 4 years trying to complete, that's all that kit was. And it's almost the whole thing about negative modeling is it's a lot of it was not the kit's fault. It was my own doing. And I think that's where the negative modeling comes in. It's this is my thoughts on it. And then, you know, I'll turn it over to you guys and kind of see what you think and when you hear negative modeling, what is that? How does that resonate with you? But for me, it's shooting myself in the foot. It's doing something once, maybe not thinking about it, and then having to redo it because I either did it poorly, I didn't think about it. Occasionally, you'll have something that just comes up and bites you, and you're like, where did that come from? But to me, negative modeling is, you know, when I do something or, you know, whether it's a step or it's something on a model that I now have to go redo because I was too stupid to not pay attention to what I was doing or not think about steps of what I was doing. So over to you guys, like that's just my thought on what it actually is. So what are y'all's thoughts on when you hear the word that kind of that phrase that, you know, that Dave had kind of coined a while back, negative modeling, what is that? How does that resonate with you? What is that? How does that make you, what do you think about?
First of all, I don't think I've ever had a build where there was not some negative modeling involved. let's just yeah, put that out there right off the bat, right? It's resident in every kit that I've built. The F4 Phantom, I've had a couple different ones. You like with the EA, the EA6 or the A6E?
It was EA6A, yeah. Everybody,
EA6A.
There's a lot of E's and A's and
yeah. Sixes. Sorry,
it's all
right. You had to take the paint off the tail, right, and redo the tail.
Oh my goodness, that's just one of 100 things.
I had to do it twice on the intakes. You know, I got it painted. I got to looking at them like, oh, that's a step and a seam on the intake. That's just not right. So I ended up stripping paint, sanding, going back, redoing. Let's talk about. There's several different types, right? You have negative modeling because of kit quality.
See, but I don't think that's negative modeling. If the quality of the kit is just shit, that's your own dumbass fault for not going and getting a Tamiya kit.
Right.
Just but, teasing. But I don't but, think that's negative. I'm thinking, again, here, I should shut up. That's just, D-Ran, you interpret however you want to interpret it. I'm going to be quiet.
In my book, if I have to go back and fix a flaw like that, a fit flaw or something like that, to me, that's negative model.
Gotcha. I see what you're
gotcha. And look, I'm not trying to say, I don't want to get into the whole assembler versus modeler type deal. There's always things that you're going to have to fix. But I'm just, when it's just grotesque, okay? A grotesque issue. Two, they're self-inflicted gunshot wounds.
There you go.
And three, it's just, I don't think it looks right. There Which is go. Really, really not a self-inflicted gunshot wound. It's just you're not happy with your own work. So you go back and redo it. So I think we got to break it down into, in my opinion, it comes in three different categories.
It's basically in like sort of the essence, what I think about, it's you're having to redo something.
Yeah.
That's where the negative part comes in, where it's going to take you two steps to recover from the one step that you did, you know? So you're having to it's just like rework. Rework sucks.
So,
and yeah, that's,
It all sucks, right? But I think out of the three, those shits are the ones I hate the most, right? Because that's just dumb stuff on my part. The other things I talked about in the last episode. I enjoy the problem solving and the kit building piece. So even though that is in my book some negative modeling because you have to redo, I don't mind it so much. And always the stuff that I'm going back to fix because I don't like is making me better.
Yeah. Now, and I like you're right. You're absolutely right. Like, it's not just, when I think about negative modeling, I'm thinking about my own dumbass doing stupid stuff. I'm not paying attention. And
that is a thing. I do it all the time.
But it's like you said, it's also, it could be the kit where you're like, I have to overcome the axles that are not present on this strut.
Exactly. There you go. That's a grotesque thing that I'm talking about.
Yep. And so now that I'm smoking what you're rolling, brother. And then of course I have had that just doesn't look right. It's not that I screwed it up. It's not that it's horrific. It's literally that I did exactly what I thought I should do. I executed exactly how I thought I should. And now I'm looking at the result and I'm like, that ain't it.
Exactly.
Something's not right and I'm going to redo it. And
you did not execute.
did not execute. I executed poorly. but, I think with that happens a lot when I'm airbrushing. I'll do something and I'm just like, I think I need to, maybe not redo, but I just continually am pushing the finish and keep pushing it. And you know what? With that, I've found that the airbrush flaws or paint finish flaws, somehow there's always a really good silver line. There's probably a silver lining with any of this stuff, but it gives that depth. And when you've got all these different layers starting to play off of one another. Next thing you know, after 20 screw ups, you're like, well, actually it looks pretty cool.
It's a happy little mistake.
Yeah. Happy little accident. All happy here. I'm with you. I think the toughest one to swallow is the that one where you're like, what did I just do? Holy Santa Claus shit.
Yeah.
What did I just do? So anyway, Whitey, Frill, Tim, how about you guys? What are your thoughts on just when you're thinking about negative modeling?
Like D-Ran, I don't think that I have built a model in the last however long that I haven't incurred negative modeling. I mean, it's just, you certainly don't mean to, but then all of a sudden it's like, man, now, I think there's different categories of negative modeling too. There's the, all right, I'm moving my airbrush across the work surface and, whoops, there goes a big old, drop of paint coming out. And splatters on your fuselage,
Raise your hand. That's never happened. That's happened.
Yeah.
Just my own. And then, so there's that one. Then there's, a couple of weeks ago, I put my thumb in the wet paint. or I had wet paint on my thumb. I think that's what it was. You know, so that incurred that became, you know, 2 days of extra work.
You know what? That happened to me so much now that when I look, I get a thumbprint on something, I just go, oh, okay, I'll take care of you a little bit. I just move past it because I know I got to come back and fix it. It's just become commonplace.
So there's those ones. And then there's the ones where I find myself a couple times, you know, looking over, you know, you're done sanding, you re-scribed your panel lines. And then, man, that one panel line could just be a little bit deeper or a little bit more defined. And then so you go into it and then all of a sudden you go sideways on it, man. And now you're filling a scratch and re-sanding and refilling and re-scribing, you know, so there's those ones. So there's different brands of negative modeling and they all suck. And, but they all, you know, why does it happen? I don't know. I think for myself, a lot of time it's, being maybe a little fatigued.
I don't tend to
do a whole lot of work during the middle of the week because I get home. I eat dinner, then I come down here, and you know I don't really want to get into a lot of work when I've had a long day. You know,
because
the potential is there to, you know, call it you know, you missed crew rest, man. You know, you don't.
To me, tedious stuff is reserved for early Saturday morning when I really have to do something and my margin of error is small. I'm doing it early Saturday morning where I am like, I am ready to roll.
Early,
not
no
Thursday night when I'm beat. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, that's my take.
That is an excellent take, my friend. Frill, how about you, man?
You know, like everybody else, there is not a single build that I have not encountered negative modeling on. And like, back when I built that monogram 48 scale P39 Air Cobra, and a lot of it is due to my laziness. I was like, oh, I'm not going to mask that entire wing off. I'll be fine, you know. So when I was shooting the white leading edge, you know, I didn't pay attention to which way I was shooting the airbrush.
Don't need to mask it. It'll be all right.
When I took the masking tape off, you know, I had a white, you know, you see where it was, and I had white overspray, and I just like, dang it, and I colonized it. And then, like, when I was working on the tracker, I will say that working on the tracker, I would mess up the paint or something, and I'd have to go back, or something would fall off, and then I'd get super glue on it, so I had to sand it after it was already painted, had to sand it. And then you're like, oh, crap, man. And so I have gotten good at having to go back and repaint something that has already been painted. I have a system down where I just go back. And it's like, I thought about it as like a auto body.
Yeah.
Repair place, you know,
yeah,
sand it down, get the rough edges down, and then got to put that primer coat down, and then you slowly build the layers up again, because a lot of times when you get the outline where you can still see it, you just paint over it, it's you know, layer depth. You've got a couple layers of paint on it, and you just put like the main color down, it's that layer is going to be lower than the other layers, and so it stands out. And so it was that, and then get, you know, that the demold resin had some air bubbles, and I'd fill them, I'd sand them. Well, I would sand too far, and then more air bubbles would show up. I'm just like, ah, crap, you know, and you gotta go back, fill them again, and sand them. Fill them again, sand them. Or, you know, or you're rushing, and like I found it, it's like when I'm trying to rush to do something, and I'll be gluing. The next thing you know, you're holding your fuselage, your wing. You put your extra thin or something, and next thing you know, you feel your thumb getting cold, and you're like, oh, man. And you quickly take your thumb off, and you got a nice little Tanya extra thin thumbprint.
And that's the thing. I mean, I consider all of us accomplished builders, and we do this shit on a regular basis, folks.
Oh, daily.
It is every single build.
Every build.
Or I'll put too much paint in my color cup and I'll be painting around. Next thing I know, I'm like, oh man, half the color cup spills out. I'm like,
you know, that's so funny you say it because I watch these YouTube videos. I say, why do they put that little cup, cap on top of their cup? And then I come down here, I go,
mine is like the other day. This was on the EA6A. So I could go on for days on this stupid ass negative build, but I was literally stirring some airbrush some paint in the air in a jar. I'm just like stirring, but I was too lazy to grab my brush. So there was just a piece of plastic sprue. Well, you know, plastic is it would like jump, you know, in the bottom of the, and the next thing I looked up and there were black speckles all over the finish on the EA6A. After decals, after weathering, after, I mean, it's sitting on its gear and I'm like, God dang, what, you know, so I had to like take the sanding stick and sand a little bit, then try to, and I was able to touch them all up, but I had like seven little bitty black little specks because my dumbass is stirring the paint because I'm hurrying, because I'm rushing, because I couldn't, I was too lazy to reach for my brush that I used to stir. Yeah, it's just. And what that set me back like half a day.
Yeah. And you know that happens all the time if you use those little medicine cups, you know.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Right? Because they have those little plastic tabs in the bottom there, and you'll have your little toothpick or your mixing stick, and it's hitting them, and it like it flicks, and you're like, don't.
Yeah.
Like on the L29, right? I mentioned earlier that I got too close, you know, I thinned the fuselage too thin in a spot, and it caused the fuse, you know, the upper, you know, the skin of the plastic kind of warp a little bit, sag. So I had to go back. I had to fill that. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, well, what can I put? I mean, it was soft, man. If you would have breathed on it wrong, you would have punched right through it.
Oh, man.
And I was like, what can I put behind that to
strengthen it up?
Strengthen it up. And I was looking around, like, oh, let me put some 2-part Tamiya epoxy putty. So that was what I put behind it. And it worked pretty good.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, I like, in my defense, that's my first time using the grinding tool, thin plastic like that.
Yeah.
And I was holding up to the light, you know, and making sure. And yeah, I got too close.
There you go.
I was like, oh boy.
Tim, how about you, man? How have you experienced? What are your thoughts on old negative modeling there?
Kind of all of the above. I mean, I've experienced all of those things. And I do like a description of negative modeling being when you go backwards and in order to get through your build. Sometimes that can be, it's just a crappy enough kit that doesn't seem to be enough sand fill sand in order to get to a point where you can move forward. I had that on that float plane recently where I finally just said, I'm going to move forward. The good news is that there was only one ghost scene that I had to deal with, and it wasn't too bad. But I've got, I mean, I was just thinking, you know, you guys were talking about messing up the paint, having to go back and redo it. I've got at least three aircraft on my shelf of doom that are at the paint stage or later. One of them actually has decals on it that I screwed up the paint and I have to go back and repaint the aircraft. One of them, like I said, it's got decals on it, and it's like, I'm trying to figure out how I can repaint the model, right? And it's really just a spot paint without screwing up the decals that are already there, because I'm going to have to mask it in order to do it. And it was my own fault. You know, it's just, this case, I'm going to smooth this out and just rub this down a little bit, because I want to get a nice smooth finish for this next decal to go down. And I rubbed a little too hard or one stroke too many. And suddenly I can see the paint that's on the other side. I'm like, no.
Oh, man.
Parafilm M. Hmm. Some parafilm M across the decals on both sides and get after it.
I have seen like the it's like the last, I don't know if you guys, you know, are skiers, but you know, Allison and I would try to go skiing every year, and I have learned after years, don't do the last run. Just stop. Don't push it, because that's when you're going to get hurt, is when you're like, I'm just going to do one more. I'm just going to keep going just a little bit more. And then that's it. That's when I the worst accident I ever had skiing or modeling is when I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do a little bit more. I'm going to try a little bit more. And it's late and you're trying to hurry. It's always, typically my negative modeling is when I'm rushing stuff, when I'm trying to get done for some stupid ass reason. And I end up, you know, one step forward, 20 steps back. I've had some. One of the ones recently also was I've seen a lot with tape. People using tape once the decals are on, and just take what you got. Don't try to mask over decals, and it's so tricky. I just add a dollar every time you're laying on tape, and you don't think that you got it on the decal, but it's on the decal, and you pull it off, and whoosh, there you are, D-Ran shaking your head, buddy.
Man, my Tamiya Phantom,
yeah,
the orange stripe. I wasn't even trying to tape anything. I just had the tape in my hand. It stuck to that yellow decal. I'm at the finishing stage. It ripped a big old hunk right out of that orange stripe, man.
Dude. Furball Jeff to the rescue, but holy gee, I remember that.
Well, I was able to actually get that piece of decal off the tape and put it back in place.
How did you not colonize that thing? I would have.
Oh my God, no! It was done. I was just going to dull coat everything. I wasn't going to colonize. I had to figure something out. I was either taking the decal off and putting a new one on. Thank God Jeff was ready. He overnighted me another set of decals.
Yeah,
but I was able to actually pull that piece of decal off the masking tape and put it back in place. Can't even tell it was there.
Yeah, yeah. But, I remember you showed it to us, and you can't. There's no crinkle or wrinkle or nothing. It looks perfect. No.
Yeah, it's perfect. So
wow.
But it went on that year to place at Nationals.
That
ripped piece of decal put back in place, but it's one of those two. You just never know when it's going to come out of the closet and bite you, man.
Bite you. And that's the toughest part is like a lot of, you know, most of the time, I'd say almost all the time, you know, you're not trying to screw it up. You're never trying to screw it up. You're just trying to get finished. And sometimes I'm just excited. I'm excited about, man, I'm almost done with this sucker. And then that's where I'm like, you idiot. I can't believe you just did this or
you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of month six, the last week of a deployment, and the air boss and the skipper and everybody coming out and saying what? Complacency.
Yeah.
Don't think about home. You get complacent, right?
Yeah.
You look and you start forgetting, look, I've only got a little bit left to do on this thing, and I'm in the free. Nope.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not in the free until you walk down that brow at home.
That's right.
It's like until the dull coat's on, everything's complete. She's sitting on her base. There's nothing. There's no antennas to add. There's no nothing. She's done. I'm always nervous. That last little bit, I've learned to just super, super slow down once I'm reaching the final fiddle stage. It just take it slow, man.
Well, I think that's the key right there is just time. I remember when I was a kid and, you know, my mom thought modeling was going to be good for me for patience. I'm one of the most impatient people on the face of the planet, right? Whoever thought that I'm taking 6 months to build now a model airplane. But that's what it's all about is time, taking your time and doing it right.
Yep. Try not to rush it. It's like golden rule number one or two in the old modeling handbook.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think we've definitely sort of, I think we've got a great start on just how, you know, what our thoughts are, but, you know, kind of like in all seriousness, like what's the best way to deal with it? I mean, for me, what I've tried to learn is if I do something that I'm like, especially a bonehead move, that's the one that stings the most. That's the one that I run the risk of just really getting fed up with the build and wanting to stop. And what the hardest thing to do is just literally take a deep breath, set it aside, and say, I'll see you in a little bit. I'm going to come back and just walk away. And it's really
go
hard.
Watch TV.
Yeah. Go watch TV. Do whatever. Just walk away from just set it down and leave. How about you guys? What are your thoughts on how do you like to deal with? You know, you made a serious goof. Now what do you do? You know, I think we're all in the consensus is just take a deep breath and walk away.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. That's when I know I'm done for the day or I'm done for the night. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave this right here, especially with like extra thin, you know, if you spill or if you get
you absolutely have to, right?
Just do not touch it. Don't try taking a paper towel and absorbing the excess. Just let it sit and let it evaporate on its own. That's like the only thing that you can do for something like that. You know, and if I do that, I guess I'm going to go watch TV now. And I just turn everything, turn the lights off, close the door, and I go watch TV, play video games. And then I think of like how stupid I was for doing that. And I know better than that. And then I spend all night beating myself up about it. Then I can't sleep because in my mind, I'm laying there in bed. All right. Now how am I going to fix that? I could probably do this. And I could probably do that, but it's not going to be the same.
Brillo's getting into the details, folks. and you know, here's the crazy part. I think we're all right there with him.
I am 100%.
I cannot, if I really jack, like, you know, when it's towards the end of a build that you've been working on for X amount, a long time, just say a while, and you jack it up, I can't sleep. I cannot. I'm like, all right, dude, calm down. All right. Think about something else. All right. Okay, here, how are you going to fix it, you know? And then you just fret, you know, like you go back and forth with the emotions of, you idiot, why did you do that? Why are you rushing? Why are you breaking all your rules to, all right, just calm down, go to sleep.
Yep, there was something happened not too long ago where I did that, and I was just, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to go to bed or whatever. And then the next day when I came back to it, I was able to fix it and you couldn't even tell. And I was like, oh, thank goodness.
That's when the ideas come to you to fix it correctly too, though. When you just take a moment, walk away, think about it, quote unquote, sleep on it, man, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sleeping on it's very good.
Or try to.
And I think what I've learned is, you know, it does help with your patience. You know, I definitely deal with, you know, mistakes that I've made that are absolutely, you know, self-induced, and I'm adding time to my model. I think that's why I get so upset. I don't have a whole lot of, I'm a slow builder anyway. So if I'm screwing stuff up on my own, that hurts the most. You know, a kit that's not engineered well. So you have to create struts or, you know, axles for it. Okay. I can handle that. I don't lose any sleep over that too much because I didn't do that. I'm like, oh, that wasn't me. I just got to figure out how to overcome that, or, you know, something that I'm like, nah, I don't, same thing though. I'll be laying in bed. I'm like, nah, man, I'll ask you guys. I'll be like, what do you guys think? And almost 100% of the time, you guys all say the same thing. Dude, looks awesome. I just leave it. And then I can't leave.
No, see, that goes to my category where it's just doesn't look right to you.
It doesn't look right. I'm just like, it is gonna freaking nag at my craw until I can't stand it anymore. And then once it's done, then it's really, now you're really moving into negative modeling if you're gonna try to work on a kit that's completely finished. And so I've learned, just fix it. Just whatever the deal is, just leave it and then, but fix it. Otherwise, it's just going to eat at you.
Yeah. If I have the aw shit, issue happen, that's when I have to walk away, just like you guys. Now, going back to that other category where if it's something where it just doesn't look right to me, I might sit it down because I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to fix it to make it. Well, I don't necessarily walk away. Sometimes I'll just go right back to work and say, okay, I got to get rid of this because I know where I screwed up and I just need to fix that. Well, I know what I need to do to make it look right. But then you've got in here, colonize it.
That's an option.
It's an option. And that That's was, an you know, when the kit is just so egregious that I've got the mistakes in the kit itself. I'm just like, all right, I've tried six times. Ping. You know what it reminds me of? I remember when, Frill built that, what MIG was that you built? It was from Kitty Hawk. You did it in the primer colors.
Yak 130.
The 130. You said that if you flicked it with your finger, it's so tight, it would snap a seam. You'll snap.
Yeah.
Right. So when you get this thing all put together and all of a sudden you move, I just saw somebody had this issue on YouTube the other day, but they set it down and it, boom, it knocked it with their finger or whatever and the seam appeared. I would say at that point, now I'm flinging that son of a gun, man.
Yeah, it's gone.
Well, it's gone. I'm just all right. Over it.
So now you go back to that MiG-23. that I was working on where the gear are just too high. And it made it where, because on the MiG-23, there's that fin on the bottom that they fold when they come in on final approach. They fold it so they don't destroy it when they land.
Yeah.
It squats, you know. And the K does not squat as much as like the Flogger B, okay? But it still has some noticeable squat to it. And I remember it was coming along good. I had the gear on. Everything was straight. And I kind of flip it over. It had been sitting for like a day.
Squat. Yes.
And I look at it and I'm like, why is the ass end of this thing sitting high?
Dude.
So I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, son of a gun.
Oh,
and
man.
I was like, how did I not catch that? You know, so it sat there for like 2 days. Well, I sat there and I tried to figure out, okay, now how am I going to fix it? The gear was painted. The fuselage was decked.
Dude, you were like, it was almost done.
It was almost done. And I'm like, and so then I was like, all right, I'm just going to leave it. But then it was nagging at me. It was like giving me the big middle finger every time I looked at it, you know? And I was like, you know, I can't deal with this. And so I sat there and I was in the parking lot. I was picking up my daughter from swim or something. And I was sitting in the parking lot and I had a piece of paper. I had a pen and I had the gear drawn out and I'm like sitting there looking at it and I was like, hey, where can I cut it? And I realized how I could fix it. So as soon as we got home and I came downstairs and thank God for those real thin Hasegawa panel line saws. And I was able to cut it where I needed to while trying to hold it while it was, you know, on the airplane, trying to hold it and not shake the crap out of it while I'm trying to saw through this thing. And then trying to hold it still while I drilled it and pinned it and put it all back together. And, well, now I know what to do if I ever do another K. I know that's going to be the first thing I do is fix the gear.
Yeah, that's...
And if you remember right, that's why, because they didn't fix that in their 30-second scale.
Nope, that's Duke's.
And that's what Duke's got mad. Yeah. And he went out to his yard and, like, he smashed his because, you know, hey,
sometimes
think about it.
Sometimes you got to just... Sometimes colonizing is the way to go. You know?
Oh yeah, it feels so good.
Sometimes that's what's happening.
What's the word for that? Cathartic?
Yes.
It's just such a great feeling.
Yeah. I've done that a few times.
Oh goodness. Well, again, I think to wrap all this up, again, kind of a fun topic. I have to say though, I have one kit that I did not have any negative modeling, and that was the Tamiya Tomcat. It only took me like 3 months to put together. It was not long, and it just, everything fits. It was a simple paint scheme. The gear are straight. They're not crooked. They had axles. The pylons and the weapons, you don't even need glue. It just like fits. Everything, just the way the fuselage fits with the main body and everything, just was good. No issues. But that's one kit out of 200 that, you know, I actually worked. And everything since the Tomcat has been like, and now that I feel like I'm getting more picky. Oh man. Oh, is that kind of a solution? Is a solution just deal? Just, you know, depending on how egregious the error is. Is it better in our days of just build to build and have fun?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I think so.
Screw it. Whatever.
I think so.
Just have fun. So what? I goofed it up. So what?
I think it depends on the build and what the goal is of the build. I mean, there's nothing wrong with just building one out of the box the way it is. It is what it is. Build it. Yeah. It's fun. Put it together. Paint. Have a great time. There's others where I really want to do something special with, like the Kitty Hawk 860. You know, I'm trying to make this thing as detailed and as real as I can. And that's a different thing, right? But there's nothing wrong with that, man. I'm living. I thought actually that this MQ9 was going to be like that. It's just a few sprues. It's going to be easy to do. And then I saw the potato chip wings. But
yeah,
you know,
well, I think
one of these days.
I think we can all agree, like, the bottom line is nobody's impervious to negative modeling. It's going to happen. It's going to happen to the best of us. And it happens to all of us on pretty much on every single build. You know, you have your anomaly every now and then, but that's not the norm. Every build that I've basically had ever is there's something. whether it's a combination of, you know, whether it's me doing it to myself. And early on, I had a lot more of those. But then, you know, some of the kits, you're just, the engineering is, you got to overcome that. Or it's just a simple, I just don't like the way that looks. So in any event, again, folks, don't feel like when you're pushing yourself to get better and to have fun modeling, like, just don't take it that serious that you do colonize it, even though sometimes that's the nuclear option right there. But, you know, just be careful. If you do that, realize there ain't no coming back. You know,
you're right.
No.
Well,
yeah, you go get another kit.
Go buy another kit. Yeah. Martyr one. Anyway, well, I think, again, great topic. Bottom line is just have fun. You know, it happens to all of us. And but if it does happen to you, then just slow down, take a deep breath. You know, don't rush. You know, and if it's good enough, then just leave it alone. You know, try not to, just don't push it. You know, it's all good. Again, you know, we've all been there, and hopefully you guys got a kick out of this one and have laughed a little bit. But it's real. Modeling is real. It is absolutely real, and it is also a mojo suck as well. But anyway, just be smarter than the kit, and you can do it, man. You can overcome it. Or you just colonize it, pick something else up like a Tamiya kit. Move on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. All right, guys. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Great, great topic. Good discussion. And again, I just want to say thank you to all of our supporters. And also just a special thank you to all our fellow podcasts for their awesome support. You know, that was super noticeable this weekend with the 48-48 with the Triple B guys and the Mojo guys, with Mike popping in, and the folks across the pond, James and his crew. Of course, you guys here are the geeks. Just a great effort, a great cause, you know, and tons of money raised. That was just absolutely fantastic. So, again, thank you, Darren and Scott Gentry, for hosting and having such a great effort.
It was fun.
It was a blast. And again, you know, it's not the podcast. It's the people. It's just such a that's why we do this. And it's so enjoyable to sit and talk models and know that we're hopefully enriching some of you guys' modeling experience. And hopefully you get something out of it. And hopefully together we can all keep the modeling family growing. Again, so thank you to everybody. Also want to put out a big thank you to our incredible sponsors, Furball Aero Design, Detail and Scale, Tamiya USA, Sprue Brothers, and Lionheart Hobby. You guys are awesome. You guys, with your generous donations and support of the show, you guys are the ones that keep us going and keep us going strong. And the support is, we're very appreciative of everything that you do for us. And eventually, ultimately, it's really for the listener. So you're not just supporting the podcast, but you're supporting the listeners as well. So again, thank you to all our sponsors. All right, dudes, that is it. Episode 74.
Woohoo, 74.
Man, that's getting up there. That's, I mean,
isn't 75 some sort of milestone?
It can be. I think 74 is damn good too. You know,
it is.
We're getting closer to 100. Closer. Again, hope you guys enjoyed 74. Thank you again to all the supporters out there. You guys are awesome. And again, hope you enjoyed listening to us sit around and chatting about the hobby. And thanks for making us a part of your valuable bench time. So join us for our next podcast. But for now, be excellent to each other. Get out there and build something. All right. So out from the geeks. Take care, everybody. Nighty night. See ya.
Later.
Good night, everybody.
See ya.
Recovery complete.